I really was singing that song, I need the prayers of those I love, and that certainly applies today. I desire your prayers, that the Lord would help us and speak to our hearts from His Word. Matthew chapter 7, give you just a moment to turn there. Familiar scripture, I know everybody's heard this, but I've been thinking about this a few weeks and had some questions. Somebody was asking me about it, and I just got to thinking about it and thought this is what the Lord would have us to preach on this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today, for all the blessings that you've given us. The rain, much needed. Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the pretty day, the beginning of summer. Lord, we pray for those that are not here today. We have several traveling and gone and coming back, and for the next couple of months now, there'll be a lot of coming and going, but we're thankful for everybody that's here today. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts from the Word of God. Lord, that you would help us as thy people. Lord, this just goes right along with the Sunday school lesson we've already had today. And so we just pray you'd continue to speak to our hearts. Help us, help me, physically, spiritually, mentally this morning as I try to preach what you've laid on my heart for today, for tonight. I pray that it would be a help to God's people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be salt and light in these last days. I pray for the lost all round about us, Lord, unless thy convicting spirit descends upon lost souls, Lord, then our words are just vain. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would search our hearts today. I pray the Spirit of God would do a work in our inner man and down deep where our hearts are. Lord, would you help us? And we know that the devil fights on every hand and tries to steal away the seed of the Word of God before it is even has time to take root. So, Lord, just have your way today. Bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder. I need your help. I pray for it. I ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 1 just to get started this morning one more time. The Bible said, "Judge not that ye be not judged." They just 7 words there. Most people, they have heard or they know this verse in the Bible. This will be our text. This will be our title for the message. Judge not that ye be not judged. And this verse is without a doubt one of the most used and abused verses in all the Word of God. I mean, people, they may not know John 3:16. They may not know where to find the book of Genesis in the Bible, but they know this verse, "Judge not that ye be not judged." It's one you'll hear. It's one you'll hear quoted. You hear people all the time, "Don't judge me." That's a common response. When somebody is confronted about their personal sin, you'll hear that. You'll hear people say that on behalf of their family members. You'll hear people say that concerning their own sin, something going on in their life. "Don't judge me." You know, have you ever stopped to consider what does that even mean? Are people using that correctly when they quote Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged"? Most of the time, people aren't even using that right. Most of the time, people haven't read any farther than verse number 1. Maybe couldn't even tell you where it is in the Bible, but they know that somewhere in the Bible, it says, judge not, that you be not judged. Most of the time when you hear that, somebody is trying to attempt a Christian or a person or shame them for speaking out against sin. You shouldn't speak out against sin. Judge not, that you be not judged. Don't judge me. You hear that all the time. We live in a very politically correct society. And boy, people don't want you saying anything about anything. It'll probably come to that in our country where it would be against the law to say anything against anything that society is for. The grossest sins that mankind commits and is involved in, if society is for it, society don't want you saying anything about it. And so they'll know one verse, judge not, that you be not judged. But I want to show you today from the Word of God, that is not the meaning of Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. And we're going to look in the Word of God and see that's not the purpose and try to shed some light on this passage of Scripture that's used so much and abused so much from the Word of God. And I want to begin in verse number 1. We'll show you some things this morning, and then, Lord willing, even tonight, I believe the Lord will let me come back and deal with this passage of Scripture again. But we're just going to start in verse number 1. The Bible said, judge not, that ye be not judged. First of all, I want to point out from the Bible, there's an injunction. Now, that's what verse number 1 is. It's an injunction from the Lord. An injunction is a court order commanding or forbidding. And God says in His Word, judge not that ye be not judged. If you've got a red letter Bible, you know this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, judge not that ye be not judged. So that's an injunction. That's an order. That's a command from the Lord. God says not to judge. Now, it's not a one-time occurrence in the Bible. It's many times in the Bible that you find this teaching about judging or not judging. You find it many other places in the New Testament. You find it here on the sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount. You find it in the book of Corinthians. You find it in the book of James. We've been studying there in the book of James. You find it in the book of Romans, especially I was studying Romans chapter 14. Same thought, same teaching Paul teaches in Romans chapter number 14. Verse number 4, Paul said this in the book of Romans, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Then in verse number 10, he said, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Verse number 13, he said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. So many places in the Bible we could go to that talks about judging and what it means. First thing I want to show you out of verse number 1 today, what it is not. What it is not. What it is not. Now, judging is not naming sin. That's not the same thing. Judging is not naming sin. I'm going to try to slow down this morning because I want to teach this to you, preach this to you. I want you to understand what the Bible says about judging. And judging is not naming sin. If judging is naming sin, there's a lot of problems we're going to run into in the Bible. Because the Bible many places says that we are to name sin. We are to expose sin. We are to judge sin. What would we do with the Old Testament prophets and that many times their ministry that it involved, it was the very fact of exposing the sins of the nation of Israel. God told Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 58 verse number 1, he said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. God told Isaiah to go out there and lift up his voice like a trumpet. He told Isaiah to go out there and cry aloud and show the people of Israel their sin. Now, when Isaiah did that, was he judging the nation of Israel? He was doing what the Lord told him to do. If God's already said it's sin, then it's not judging to say that it's sin. God's already said, God's already judged it as sin. God's already said adultery is wrong and fornication and drunkenness. And I mean, we could just go down the list this morning. So to say that somebody is involved in such things is not judging. Because if it was judging, we'd be wrong to judge or say anything about it. Well, somebody said, well, that's national sin. You know, it's real easy to preach on national sin. It's real easy to preach on that sorry bunch up in Washington, isn't it? I mean, they've done us all wrong. And they've, you know, we could go on. It's easy to preach. It's easy to cry aloud against the sins of the nation. And so most people don't have a problem with that. And they'd say, well, that's national. That's talking about the nation. But that's not personal. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, Timothy, two-thirds of your ministry is going to be negative. It's going to be reproving and rebuking. Now, you cannot do that without saying sin is sin, without saying wrong is wrong. And so he said, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. He warned Timothy, don't get outside the Word of God. That's where you get in trouble. And people say, well, the preacher, he's quit preaching and gone to meddling. Well, if he's still in the Word of God, I'll tell you, he's still preaching, even if you think it's meddling. It's still preaching if the Word of God speaks upon it. We are to preach upon it. So it is not naming sin. That's not what it is. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is very personal. Say, well, we don't have a problem. That's the sins of the nation. But Paul told Timothy to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 is very personal. It deals with a personal situation in the church at Corinth. It's very personal. And Paul rebukes the church because they had not judged sin in their midst. So we got to look and figure out what's the Word of God mean when it says judge not, that you be not judged, because Paul rebuked the church at Corinth for not judging. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1, Paul said, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Paul said, it's reported commonly. He said, everybody in town knows that in the church at Corinth, there's a sinful sexual situation, and even the heathen people are pointing their finger and they're saying that ought not to be. That was going on at the church in Corinth. And Paul, go on down. I'm not going to go through all this. I suppose that maybe you're familiar with what's going on in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, but in verse number 7, what does Paul tell them to do with that situation? He said, purge out therefore the old leaven. He said, hey church, you need to do something about that. It's a bad testimony. It's a bad testimony to allow sin to go on in the church and the church not to do anything or say anything about it. So he said, you need to purge out. Need to do something about it. He said it in verse 11 again. Look what the Bible said. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, know not to eat, is Paul judging? He's not judging. He said, if you've got anybody in the church that is an extortioner, a drunkard, a covetous, a fornicator, an idolater, a railer, he said, with such an one, know not to eat. If it's common knowledge that this sin is in the church. Verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? You know what? Paul's not talking about what the heathen are doing out here in the world. He's not talking about judging what lost people are doing. Do you know what? Lost people are going to do what lost people have done for since the beginning of time. They're going to sin. And you can't do anything about it a lot of the time. But Paul said, when it's in the church, you got to do something about it. You can do something about it. You should do something about it. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without, God judgeth. God will take care of the without. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Paul rebuked the church at Corinth for not dealing with personal sin in among their own members. But we live in such a day and a time where if anything is said about anything like that, oh, judge not that you be not judged. Don't you hear that all the time? When's the last time you heard about in a church that the church doing anything about personal scandal, personal sin that is going on in the midst? Oh, don't judge me. Don't judge my people in my family. Don't judge that you be not judged. But that is not what the Bible's talking about. What if you went down the road this afternoon and you're speeding, you're 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, and you get pulled over by the highway patrol, and he comes up to your car window, and you look at it, and you say, officer, is there a problem? He said, well, I just clocked you going 10, 15 miles over the... would you sit there and say, how dare you judge me like that? Has anybody ever tried that, Brother Bradley? Heathen people don't even try that. I mean, sin. But that's the type of thinking that goes on. You know, if the judge down at the courthouse wouldn't judge sin, and if somebody could just say, how dare you judge me? And he sat there and said, well, I better not say nothing about that. They'll think I'm judging them. You better believe he's judging it. That's his job. You better believe that the man that's clocking your car going down the road, you know what he's doing. He's judging you. He's deciding something on you. And if you broke the law, you'd better not try. How dare you judge me? I can't believe you're judging me. You just pulled me over because I got a red car. I read somewhere where red cars get pulled over more than others. I think insurance companies have discovered that. Preachers drive white cars, so that's why I've got a white car. But if the law didn't do its job, we'd say what? The law's not doing its job. If the church doesn't do its job, there's some wrong thinking going on there. What? It's not. It's not naming sin. Facts are facts. Sin is always sin. God has said sin is sin. And to say that a sin is not judging. It's agreeing with God. Adultery is not a sin because I say it's so. It's sin because God says it's so. Fornication is not a sin because I say it's so. It's a sin because God says it's so. And to say that it's sin is not judging. What it's not is not naming sin. Number two, under the injunction here in verse number one, what it is. What is the Lord talking about here? Judge. Judge is just like, it is just like the judge that's sitting over in the courthouse. He's called the judge or she's called the judge because they have a responsibility to decide something. What the judge does. He decides. He makes decisions concerning each case that comes before him. It means, the word means to try something. That's what a judge does. He tries a case. He listens to the case and he makes a decision to try to condemn. That's what a judge does. If somebody's guilty, they'll pass a guilty verdict. There'll be a punishment. That's a condemnation for that transgression, whatever it was. It means to condemn. It means to avenge. That's what the judge is doing. He will avenge on behalf of somebody that's been hurt or harmed. That person is going to be punished that's been found guilty for robbing somebody or murdering somebody. The judge decides and tries the case and avenges on behalf of the offended. That's what a judge does, to decree. And when we apply that spiritually, Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." One commentary I read said this about the judge not that you be not judged. He said it's talking about rash judgment, interpreting men's words and deeds to the worst sense, and censuring them in a very severe manner. That's what it's talking about. The word censure means this: apt to blame or condemn, severe in making remarks on others. Severe in making remarks on others. That's what judging is. In their writings, in their manners, are often implying an ill nature towards somebody. Now, judging is as much of a spirit as anything else. Having a judgmental spirit. You can say two things, you're saying the same thing, but one thing you can say, and it is not judging, it is simply stating the fact. I heard that such and such, I'm going to say Main Street Baptist Church. I'm going to say something about this, no church in particular. I'm making this up. Main Street Baptist Church has a family life center. Did you know that? Is that judging? If I said that to Brother Stephen, would that be judging? That's not judging. It's a fact. It's set beside the road. They use it. They go in and out of it all the time. Main Street Baptist Church has a family life center. Did you know that? You didn't know that. All right. I'm not judging in saying that. That's a fact. What if I said it like this? Main Street Baptist Church has a family life center. That bunch of liberals, they're all a bunch of liberals. All they go to church for is just to play basketball in the gym. That's all they're concerned about down there. Just getting a big number in so they can, you know what? That's judging. See, I said the same thing, but I implied that they was all. Say, preacher, nobody. Do you know once upon a time you'd have been judged for having a fellowship hall? Probably were. When you wanted to have a fellowship hall, when you seen the need for it. Churches that have fellowship halls, that's all they're doing is eating all the time. And they're all liberal. But we don't have a fellowship hall. We eat out under the trees and get struck by lightning, but I'm telling you, that's not the reason we go to church. See, it's as much of an attitude. It's an attitude in how you say things. That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about when he said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." It is a fact that many thousands of people are pouring into our country every year illegally. They're not coming here the way that the law says if you want to come to America, you come to America. That's a fact. I'm not judging anybody. If I lived in a third world country, I would probably want to come to America too and have a better life. It's just a fact. And they need to do something about that. But if I stood here this morning and said, all them Mexicans are illegal immigrants and they're just a bunch of drug dealers and gang related and bring that, you know what? I'm judging a whole group of people. Buddy, I'd want to come here too and get out of some of the mess. See, it's just the attitude. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Well, is that judging? What's the attitude of your heart? Just ask yourself that. Are you condemning somebody? Are you laying a blanket out over somebody and their situation that they're in? Are you belittling them? Are you running them down? That's what judging is. Casting somebody in a bad light that's in a bad situation. That's what it means. Judge not, that you be not judged. Second of all, let me point out in verse number 2, there's an instance. First of all, there's an injunction. God said, judge not that you be not judged. Here's an instance. For instance, verse number 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Here's why we're not to judge. Because it'll come back on you. It'll come back on you. That's why God says not to judge. Do you know what? It's for our protection. That's why God says not to have that type of spirit about us. Have you ever heard somebody say, now, so-and-so down the road did this. I would never do that. Boy, you better watch out. You'd better duck. In fact, if somebody's adamant about something they'll never do, you can pretty much mark it down. They'll probably end up doing it. And they'll probably end up doing it worse than the one they were throwing off on. Here's one that'll scare you to death. My children. Not my children. But they're out there doing that, and they're involved in this, and their friends there, and this is what they've done. Not my children, not my youngins, not my son, not my daughter. They'd never. Oh, they might not, but your grandchildren? Better be careful. See what the Lord says in verse number 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again, is what the Word of God says. Whatever it is you judge somebody for is very, very likely to come back upon you one day. Samson in the Bible was led about his whole... You talk about potential, a young man with potential. But Samson in his life had no control over his inward man, his inward spirit. He was led about by the lust of the eyes. Everything he seen that he wanted, he went after it. He obtained it. He got it. Do you know what happened to Samson in the end? The Philistines, that's the world, plucked his eyes out of his head. And that man that was so strong and had the Spirit of God upon him ended up in the meal house grinding meal like an animal. Samson was led about with his eyes. And in the end, he had his eyes plucked out. Absalom should have been in line to take over for King David. But you know what? Absalom had a pride problem. Absalom thought he knew better and was better than King David. And Absalom kept interjecting himself in with his pride where he had no business being. And he was all lifted up and he made a monument unto himself. And you know what happened to Absalom in the end? It was his hair that got him hung up and killed. He was elevated in his mind. It was his head that ended up being the death of him. Look in Numbers chapter 12. Let me show you something. Now keep your place here. But I want to show you something I was studying this morning in Numbers chapter number 12. Here's a great example or an instance where we find that the Word of God said, judge not that you be not judged. If you do, here's what's going to happen to you. Same thing that you judged about is going to be meted out unto you. It's going to happen to you. Numbers chapter number 12. I was just going to mention it in passing, but it's just too good. I just want to show you from the Bible. Now, Numbers chapter number 12. Verse number 1, the Bible said, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, let me tell you, I've never been to Ethiopia, but you know what? People that are from Ethiopia are black. Did you know that? Brother Raymond said, real black. That's right. That's not judging. That's just the way it is. Just like people from Scotland are real white and real redheaded. That's just the way it is. But now, if you read on down through here, what you read, you got to keep in mind this whole thing was about, it wasn't about nothing else but who he married. That's what the whole incident was over. They spake against Moses because their brother married a black woman. Or we might say they was upset because a Jew married a Gentile. If we're going to be real open-minded about it, maybe that was the problem. But it didn't say that Moses married a Gentile. It said Moses married an Ethiopian woman. They spake against Moses. What's that mean? They's talking about Moses. They's running their mouth about Moses. They's saying, I can't believe Moses married that woman, that Ethiopian woman. That's what it means. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also by us? They said, who says Moses is the only one that hears from God? Hey, if Moses had the ear of the Lord, how come he married that woman? God can speak by us just as much as he can speak by Moses. God, Moses is not the only one in town that God's ever spoken to. What about us? Can't believe he married that woman. That's what they were doing. Now look what the Bible said. And the Lord heard it. Do you know what? When we judge, and we're not supposed to be judging, you know who else hears it? The Lord hears it. And I've been studying on this a couple of weeks, and I cannot tell you how many times I've said, you know, me and Kim talking. What? Nothing. Never mind. Really got me to thinking. So, don't look at me like you're not guilty, because I think everybody's guilty. Did you know that? Never mind. And the Lord heard it. Now look, this is in parentheses. Now the man Moses was very meek. That's the first time you find the word meek in the Bible. Somebody asked me last Sunday, I believe it was, what does the word meek mean? Or maybe 2 weeks ago. It's the first time you find it in the Bible. Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses had the ear of God. He had the power of God upon his life. Moses could have said something about them talking about him. But you know what? Moses just let the Lord handle it. He could have said something. He could have probably brought the law down on Miriam and Aaron if he'd have wanted to, but he's very meek. He could have said something, but he didn't. I believe that's why that's there. I believe that's the lesson. You want to know what meek is? You could say something, but he's just not going to say anything. He's just going to let the Lord handle it. Now verse 4 said, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But look what he said in verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You better be careful who you're talking about. They might just be closer to God than you are. And God might take up on their behalf. That's what he did for Moses. Now look at verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Did you catch that? You remember what they was mad about? You remember what they was talking about, that Ethiopian woman and the color of her skin? And no doubt that come up many times in the family circle, that they couldn't believe it. Moses has went out and married this Ethiopian woman, this black woman. And you know what God did to Miriam? God judged Miriam exactly how Miriam had judged that Ethiopian woman. He said, you got an issue with somebody's skin? Let me show you. And he turned her skin white as snow with leprosy, which was a death sentence. And that's what you read on down. You see that. It was a death sentence to have leprosy. Look what Aaron said in verse 12. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord. Now Moses is going to say something. He cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Better be careful who you're talking about. They might be closer to God than you are. God judged Miriam and Aaron, and the whole camp had to wait 7 days while Miriam was healed, because Miriam had been talking about who Moses married. It really wasn't even that big of a deal. But the big deal was how they was talking about Moses and judging Moses. And God made a big deal out of it. So there's instances in the scripture. We could mention many, many. I remember when Noah was little. And I've said many times, you know, we was practicing on him because he's the first one. But you know, I tried to raise it. It's hard to be a preacher's child. There's a lot of pressure for the preacher's children to act better than everybody else, you know, but I'm telling you, they're youngins just like everybody else's youngins. And so he had done something, I can't even remember now what it was, but it was just a little, it was nothing, I can't even remember what it was, but I'm telling you, I come down hard on him over that. Whatever it was, I can't remember, but I come down hard on him over that. And the Holy Ghost of God rebuked me over that and said unto me, say, preacher, does the Lord talk to you sometimes? It's just as real if he had spoke out loud. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, now, if I judged you like you're judging him, if I was as short with you as you're being with him, how would you like that? I forgot what he done, but I've not forgot what the Lord showed me about that. It's good sometimes to have some mercy with people, because you might be judged in the same way. In fact, you will. That's what the Bible said in verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you could have really used some mercy? You could have really used some kindness and patience from somebody else. It's hard to be judged. And if you judge harshly, you'll be judged harshly. There's the injunction. Second of all, there's the instance. Third of all, there's the illustration. I'll show you this. There's the illustration in verse number 3. The Bible said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now I remember learning about this when I was in Sunday school as a little child, about the mote and the beam. And a mote is a little piece of something. And a beam, a mote is like a piece of straw or anything small, a speck, a spot. A beam, the word means the idea of holding up a stick of timber. It's a piece of firewood. And so the illustration here, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? It was week four last during Bible school. It happened that week. And I got up one morning, and this really got me thinking about this, as well as a few other things. But I woke up, and I always do the same thing. I went into the bathroom, I splashed some water, washed my face, and getting ready to go and do everything. But that's the first thing I always do. And I went in there, splashed some water in my face, and as soon as I did, I could tell there was something in my eye. And that something in my eye, I mean, it was immediately I tried to get it out. And I picked up my eyelid and I looked and I didn't want to rub it because I didn't want to scratch my eyeball. But I'm telling you, it began to hurt to the point it hurt so bad my nose was running. I'm not kidding about that. I don't know what it was. I don't know how it got there, but just as soon as I... And so nobody else in the house is up, and I couldn't get it out, and I thought, well, I'll go sit down, and I'll... Maybe my eyes will water, and it will... It'll come out, whatever it is, or maybe I've scratched my eyeball, and I went in there. I always do the same thing. I sat down. I was going to read my Bible, and I'm sitting there, my eyes are watering. I couldn't even read my Bible, and I'm holding my eyelid open, and it was hurting. It was hurting. And I thought that morning, I thought, Lord, if you want me to preach on, I said, there's bound to be an easier way. I did. Those thoughts went through my mind. What I realized was with that little tiny mote, that little tiny something in my eye, I couldn't see. And that's the illustration in verse number 3. If you've got something in your eye, you cannot see to judge. You sure don't need to be trying to judge somebody else if you've got something in your eye. There's the illustration of it in verse number 3. If you've got something in your eye, you cannot see clearly. I couldn't read my Bible. I didn't feel like doing anything. I mean, it was hurting so bad, I was thinking in my mind, if something don't give, my plans for my whole day are going to change because I can't do anything like this. I told Kim after, I said, isn't it amazing how such a small thing, a little tiny small thing can handicap us so much? What about in our spiritual lives? How much do we allow? We wonder why we can't have revival, feel the Spirit of God, have God's presence, have God's power. How many times are we walking around trying to do the Lord's work and we cannot, we can't. We can't because we got a, not even talking about a beam, we got a piece of firewood in our eyeball. There's the illustration in verse number 3, summer. Really hard on others. Boy, I've been there. You've been there. And we all know people. Boy, they're hard on everybody and everything and giving everybody and everything down the road. But what they can't see is that they're in as bad of or worse shape than others are. That's what the illustration of the mote and the beam are. There's some running around trying to get little specks out of everybody's life, and they've got a beam in their life, but they can't see it. When you got something in your eye, you cannot see. That is the whole teaching of verse number 3. Look in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to show you something over there, and I'm going to close this morning. And then I'm going to pick up tonight and deal with the other three verses. There's more of a lesson. I really want you to come back tonight. But I realized I couldn't get it all in. Look in Luke chapter number 18. We'll close this morning. Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. Here's an illustration of a man that had a stick of firewood in his eyeball. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. This Pharisee, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That always is accompanied by a judgmental spirit. Buddy, I'm good, they're bad. I'm righteous, they're unrighteous. I'm a good person, I go to church, I try to do right. That bunch down the road, that bunch of... See, Jesus spoke a parable unto those which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now, I always like that when I read that. He wasn't praying to God. He's just praying to hear himself pray. He prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee. I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14 said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Who went home right with God? That publican did. That religious man that lived such a good outward life and had all his I's dotted and his T's crossed in his life and prayed such a pompous prayer before the Lord and let everybody hear him and everything, he didn't get the ear of God. That man that wouldn't even look up to the heavens and just stood there and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he went home right with God. You know, on a sheet of paper, I'm sure that Pharisee probably in the eyes of man would have fared better. But God looks on the heart. And that's what matters with the Lord. Yeah, the other things matter. But what matters first with the Lord is the attitude of our heart. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That means put down. And he that humbleth himself, he that goes down, shall be exalted, lifted up. And so we close this morning, just ask the question, which one are you? Which one are you this morning? Judge not that you be not judged. I'd like for us to...